Broadcasting live from Dublin, Ireland, and around the world on TalkingBrawlsMMA.com. You're listening to Ireland's premier mixed martial arts radio.
This is Mike Dolce,
Ian McCall,
James Little Evil Pulver,
the Crippler Chris Leaving,
Frank the Legend Shamrock,
Bruce Buffer, your voice of the UFC Octagon. And now, we are live at Talking Brawls.
We are back live, Talking Brawls Mixed Martial Arts Podcast live show with your host as always, Niall McGrath. Okay, lots to get through this week. Obviously, starting off with you, Andy. Obviously, a big campaign online.
That's why I called you back, Phil.
Ireland's own Neil Seary to get the nod, should I say, to get into the UFC and replace, obviously, the injured Ian McCall obviously against Brad Pickett. So just get your thoughts. How have you reacted to the whole social campaign? Everyone seems to be getting behind Neil. It's great to see, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant to see. And, you know, Neil is a likeable guy and he sort of gets on with everybody and he's a hard worker. So, you know, Neil sort of doesn't sort of fall out with anyone. And I was delighted he got the great support, especially from the guys who have made it to the UFC already, you know, from different teams, and they were shouting out and giving them plenty of support. And it was great the way all the country rallied behind them, you know.
Brilliant stuff, yeah. And just saying that, we'll be joined by Brad Pickett later on in the show and get his reaction, obviously.
Poor for Neil, because exactly like what Andy said, he is a very well-respected, very well-liked guy on the MMA circuit, even and not just in Ireland, in the UK as well. And like Andy said, lads who are in the UFC, you know, up arms for Neil's cause. You know, Norman Park was one of the first to get involved. Ash Daly, Conor McGregor, one of the lads from the club, Chris Dell, he was tweeting Conor McGregor. Conor was struck back. Kyle Pendred, Chris Fields, and some of Neil's teammates, obviously, like Redzer, Paul Redmond, who's the Cage Warriors, lots of the Cage Warriors fighters. And then even guys like Billy Harris, who Neil has fought, and Billy beat him when it was on BAM about 2 or maybe 3 years ago. Billy was straight in to recommend Neil to the UFC and say, look, if you're looking for a good, solid fighter, someone who could give Brad Pickett a good test, look no further than Neil Seary. And even Brad himself, you know, he hasn't sort of poo-pooed it or said, look, why would I fight this guy? I don't know who this guy is. He does want a top 10 opponent.
But
he has also said, you know, I'd be more than happy to fight Neil if there's no one else.
Yeah, but the thing is as well, you know, Brad, obviously, you know, he's very eager to make his flyweight debut. So Neil would be, you know, the perfect guy to step in. And surely he just wants to fight at that weight, full stop, regardless.
Well, that's very true, but there's a couple of other things as well. If you look at the main card, if there's no Brad Pickett fight, they're down to 3 fights. And no disrespect to the undercard fights, but it'd be a massive jump for them to make main card quality. The other thing is, Brad's from London. Like, this is in his backyard. So he wants more than ever to fight on that of all the UFC cards he could pick. I'm sure he'd pick the one in London to fight on. And then, yeah, lastly, style-wise, 2 of them match up very well.
Yeah, I was saying that during the week. It'd be a potential fight of the night candidate, surely, Andy.
Yeah, it'd be a super fight. And that's one of Neil's, you know, thoughts on the fight, is that he's a massive Brad Pickett fan. He loves the way he fights. You know, and Neil would go in there, stand toe-to-toe, you know, and give it everything. And that's what I think the USA are missing, you know. Everyone else seems to know this except them, you know. There's guys in there that wouldn't put up half the fight that Neil would. Neil would get in there and give it, you know, he'd leave it all in the cage there, you know.
Definitely. And how's Neil's, I know he's a guy he likes to, you know, he keep in shape. How's his weight and all that? Would that be any problem?
No, when Neil runs home from work every day, so he's always doing something. And then he coaches their MMA class and he coaches a boxing class, which he really does himself anyway. So he was actually sparring Friday night with all the bigger guys and putting them through their paces. So he's always taking over, you know. Neil is always, you know, keeps himself fit all the time.
Yeah, and you know, looking at that, as you mentioned there, he said he keeps himself fit all the time. You know, 3 weeks out, you know, would there be any problem with a weight cut? No, does that even come into the equation?
I think he tweeted there the other night, Friday night, he was 63 kilos, and that's the heaviest he ever goes to, you know?
Yeah.
And that's eating after his dinner and, you know, being in work all week and stuff. No, it wouldn't be. We've taken a fight before 4 weeks' notice against Paul Maron there, you know, and there was no problem. Leo was actually heavier. He had been back from his brother's wedding and stuff, and he got straight back into the camp.
And what's his standard cut?
His stand, it's around this now. He sits around 61, 62, and then he'll drop down to the 56, you know.
Yeah. And Fergus, just get your take on it. Obviously, you know Neil well, and I'm not sure. I actually mentioned this to you on the phone yesterday when I was speaking to you. What's the situation with, you know, Andy, you might know a little bit more of this as well, about the, you know, the whole contract situation with Cage Warriors. How is that resolved, or, you know, would that be an issue if the fight was to take place?
No. Yeah, I have no idea. Andy,
Neil is actually managed by Intensity, so there's no problem. They have been trying to fight his corner to get him into the UFC. So, you know, Graham Boylan rang me last week when this all sort of happened, said, look, we're on to Sean Shelby. They were trying to make this happen. So I think for them it's a good move as well, you know.
Definitely. And Fergus, we mentioned that yesterday. I was talking to you about the whole contract situation. But when you look at a guy like Neil and Brad Pickett, you see this fight, you know, the UFC, it's not sold out there at the moment. Do you think there'd be a heavy, strong contingent of Irish would go over if Neil got the nod?
I'd imagine so. Like, there's always a good travelling Irish contingent to a UFC anyway. I mean, you've been at them, and you always hear when, like, if you're on the plane over, you see the lads, you hear the
songs,
UFC chat up and down the cabin. When you're making your way to the ground, then, whether it's for the weigh-in or the actual event, you always hear a good scattering of Irish accents around the place. And then when you actually get into the venue, it doesn't matter where it is, like whether it's Sweden or across Europe or even in the States, you'll always see an Irish flag, and you'll hear the voices. And anytime there's the Q&A sessions, there's generally at least, you know, one or two Irish lads asking questions to whoever's doing the Q&A just after the weigh-ins. So yeah, I would say an Irish presence on the card would just even boost that further.
Definitely.
I know when Neil has fought in Cage Warriors abroad, are any Irish lads, when they're fighting Cage Warriors across Europe and that, you usually get a good travelling Irish contingent to support the fighters. And I think it's evident by the reaction on social media, how popular Neil is, and I'd fully expect that to follow through if he made the card, to follow through to people turning up in London.
Definitely. And Andy, how do you think ultimately Neil would fare against Brad Pickett? I'm not sure, Fergus possibly mentioned me, you used to have a bit of a relationship with the guys in ATT in the States.
Yeah, we still do. Paul Redmond, Redzer, and John Donnelly have trained over there, and so was John Redmond, who's with us there now. They've all trained there, and actually Redzer's going back over there soon. I think he's going over for the summer, you know. Plus, we've had some of them guys in London on the Battle Zone show, and we've mixed, you know, we've got trained in England with them and stuff, you know. But we would be very, very, very friendly with some of the American top 10 guys, yeah.
Definitely. And speaking of, you mentioned John Redmond there. How much of a good acquisition is that for your gym?
Yeah, it's great. I think John has great potential. I just think that he was a bit immature in a lot of the decisions he's made, and, you know, and his training regime, you know. I think Paul Cowser was doing a great job on down that gym, but he just needed the extra few little bodies, or he needed someone like Neil Seary on the mat with him that, you know, if he's picking up that bottle of water to have a drink, have a break, Neil will give him a kick in the ass. and that's really what, it's only small stuff like that, you know, and the positive attitude and the positive training and environment. I think he needed that. He needed to be, instead of being the big fish, he needed to be, you know, back down to be the student and try and learn a little bit, you know.
Definitely. And Fergus, obviously, just tell the guys about your show as well. You've this Tanta MMA show, and where they can find you on Twitter.
Oh, you're very good. Now I'll consider him on your, we're on Talking Balls, a bit of free advertising. Yeah, we're on SoundCloud and iTunes. If you just search for the Satanta MMA show, we are on Facebook. Then again, Satanta MMA show. If you search for that, and we're at Satanta MMA show on Twitter. We're going, how long are we going? Since probably August. I think we're up to about 24 episodes. Yeah, we did episode 24 just last Thursday with Andy, and Steve Lowry is my Team Ryan. We were homeless this week, and it was funny because we came in to do the came in to record, and we were doing a bit of chat, and we said, "All right, here we'll talk about Neil and possibly how he might get into the UFC." It was literally, I think it was Wednesday, Andy. We were just saying, "Oh, you know, will he get in?" And Andy was kind of getting a bit down, going, "Oh, I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen. Like, you know, how long is it going to take, or when is he going to get picked up?" And Andy was starting to kind of go, "I don't know if it hasn't happened now, it'll never happen." And me and Steve were, you know, going through all the same reasons you always talk about Neil. And I think by the end of it, Andy, you were coming around going, yeah, maybe we'll stick with it. And then literally the next day, I think it was about 9 o'clock on Thursday night, the news broke, that McCall was out.
Mm.
And it, fair play to Fergus O'Farrell, Fig O'Farrell, yeah. Fight Hounds. When I saw it, I was just flicking through the web, and I saw it, and I went straight onto Facebook, and fair play to Fig, he had it straight up. And I started going at it on Twitter, and it just snowballed. Sorry, just to go back, so the Satanta MMA show, we do it every week or 2 weeks. It's not, it doesn't have a set calendar like you lads. We wouldn't be that disciplined, but... I think it's good that we have obviously your show and our show, and I think they're two different shows, so you could definitely be a listener of Talking Broads and a listener of Satanta MMA show.
Definitely.
And I think that there's plenty of room for both of us, and I think the more people we have covering the sport, I think it's only a good thing.
Definitely, the
more coverage the better.
Definitely. And Andy, just a word on Neil again. Have you heard anything, or has Neil heard anything from the UFC brass, just Sean Shelby, or has anyone been in any sort of contact with you guys?
No, zero contact, but we hear little bits and pieces from, you know, we get the odd call or the odd email sort of saying, look, they're going to look for a top 10 rostered fighter for him, someone that's already in there, because I can understand that it means less work, it means, you know, paperwork, medicals, all that's done, you know. But listen, how long does that take to get done? They've had fights at 2 weeks and hours before, so
definitely.
No. Yeah, I remember asking John Kavanagh about how, I think it was for Gunny, when Gunny Nelson got the call up, how it came about and, you know, what happened. And he was saying that it's a pretty kind of unromantic affair. Like, you get an email, I think John said he was in, sitting down having dinner, and then he saw the inbox flashing, one mail, went in, looked at it, and it was literally a mail from the UFC going, Gunny will fight here against this guy.
Yeah.
Do you accept? And John flashed off to say, yeah. And that was it.
That was,
you know,
it.
There's no kind of, you know, romancing over the phone and contract negotiations. It's boom. There's the offer. Do you take it? Yeah. Okay, great. And, you know, see you in the venue.
And speaking of John Kavanagh, I spoke to John last week in the show, Andy, and I asked John, I know you have a good relationship with John.
Yeah, good pals, yeah.
I asked John about, you know, how, you know, what's the word I can use, how excited and, you know, how proud, you know, the last year has been for a guy like yourself as well. How much, you know, pleasure do you get out of the rise of the Irish scene in the last 18 months?
Yeah, but to be honest, Ferg's only said this to me the other day, and a few other guys are saying to me, it must be great for you, and it'd be great if you got this. You know, I don't give two shits about myself, because I have years to try and get someone in there to push people, but it's great. You know, if I see someone like Neil, say, for all the hard work, all the ups and downs he's had, to sort of be rewarded by getting that shot, that for me is you know, is something else in itself. And it's great now that there is Irish guys at the level. I think we're probably one of the top countries in Europe now, you know. So
definitely.
We should be expecting to get into the UFC now.
And how's Reds are getting on in training? Obviously, you know, he was in a 5-fight win streak until he got caught against Matthias Teodorchuk. How's Reds are... looking ahead of this fight of Cage Warriors first of March.
Yeah, he's looking super. Yeah, he always does. Reds' training doesn't change much, you know. I just think in his last fight, he sort of fell asleep a little bit and was a second behind in everything he was doing, you know. He was sort of thinking about it instead of just doing it. So he's made up for that little mistake now. So he's looking forward to this next fight.
Okay, guys, if you just joined us now, we're live on the air with Fergus Ryan of the Standard MMA Show and Andy Ryan of Team Rhino, head coach of Team Rhino. And you can obviously catch us on the website, www.talkingbrawlsmma.com, and also on Twitter at tbmma.com, at Niall McGrath 4. And Fergus, what's your handle?
At Gus Ryan 100.
And Andy Ryan, what's your handle?
Ask us, I don't know.
Andy is at BJJ Northside.
There we go, guys. Okay, guys, we're going to get to a song now, and then we'll be back.
Yeah, great. How are you, Brad? Lovely to talk to you again. I've talked to you a couple of times down through the years, be it at events or through interviews. And one thing I would like to say is you're always an absolute gentleman to deal with.
Thank you. It's
probably come out, I think the Irish fans, if they didn't know it before now, I think it's come out in the way that you've reacted to the kind of the social media campaign to get Neil Seary onto the London card. Some fighters might have kind of tried to throw it off or say, oh, look, this guy isn't in my league. But you've been quite funny, actually, in some of the tweets you've got involved in. And you certainly... You've said in tweets openly that you're quite happy to fight Neil if that's who the UFC put in front of you. So, fair play to the way you've reacted to this whole thing.
Thank you. Yeah. On that note, basically, obviously, I speak to Sean Shelby and stuff like that, and as for my opponents of that, obviously, I want to fight someone within the top 10 of the flyweight division. Yeah. To be honest, because. With me, I wanted to fight Ian McCall, and if I had a good win over Ian McCall, it kind of left me in picture to have a shot at Demetrius Johnson, being that I beat him in the past, and like he's basically beat everyone else within the division. It kind of made sense for me to have a fight with the top 10 opponent, and if I come off a good win, that maybe that they can have that match up. So obviously, for me, fighting someone within the top 10 obviously appeals to me more, being relevant. I'm 35 now, and I'm not here just to make up the numbers. I need big fights, you know. I want to move on. The reason I came down to 125, it's not because I enjoy losing weight. Yeah, it's far from it. I come down to 125 because I want to be a world champion, you know. But with that said, like, not, I don't know if I could get a top 10 opponent who would take a fight in 3 weeks' notice. You know, a lot of them guys, you know, obviously they would like to fight me, but they would want better preparation than just 3 weeks. You know, I don't know what circumstances a lot of them coming off of, if they've got any injuries or weight could be an issue. So, but when you're in the top 10, you want to stay in the top 10. You want to be a bit more clever. Well, maybe they don't, but the managers will be a lot more clever with their decisions, you know. So I spoke to Sean Shelby about it when I said to him, oh, I like the top 10 opponent. But then he also... Obviously, because Twitter has blown up massively with this Neil Seary guy. And, so obviously he can't help to notice, and obviously I've noticed.
Yeah.
And I spoke to him a little bit about it, and I said, look, you know, I'd rather fight than not fight. So I'd happily fight him, you know. It's not a question where I say, oh, I'm too good for this guy, and all that sort of stuff, or, you know, don't get me wrong, it's a dangerous fight for me to fight someone who's relatively unknown and stuff like that. But, you know, for me, I'm quite professional in how I approach fights, and I fight anybody as dangerous. Anyone's dangerous on any given night, you know. So I don't overlook over anyone, and I'm always prepared, you know, for everyone. So
when myself and Andy were talking about this on maybe Saturday morning, Brad, we absolutely understand, of course, you'd want to face a top 10 opponent, and we kind of had a look then through the flyweight division, and I think I can't remember the numbers, but lots of the guys are already matched up for fights in March and April, and then there's another two or three guys who have just come off fights themselves in kind of late January, February, and there was only a handful of names left, and like you say, it was, say, John Dodson and Moraga don't seem to be matched up. But like you say, Brad, they're probably going to be a little bit more clever, because they could nearly just sit around and they'd walk into a title shot because they're that far up the division. So they're not going to want to fight Brad Pickett on 3 weeks' notice, because, you know, it's a very tough fight for them. And if they lose, you know, you could potentially jump ahead of them. So, of course, they're not going to risk their standing in the division. Which is unfortunate, you know, for yourself, because Andy will chime in with this, because Team Rhino are massive fans of Brad Pickett, and we'd love to see you fight top 10 opposition and get another crack at Demetrius Johnson.
Yeah, that's the plan for me. I mean, you speak complete sense, and that's what I was thinking. with Dodson, I don't know if he's got over his injury. You know, I know he got injured, so I don't know if he's still injured. I'm not too sure. But I know Sean Shelby and the UFC are working really hard to get me a fight. For me, 100%, I want to fight on that card, you know. So it's my hometown in the O2. I've been training. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want any option of it being delayed and me fighting on a later date because I am sick with eating hardly anything. I definitely want to fight, and I don't want to let, I sold personally over like 30,000 pounds worth of tickets, you know. So I've got a lot of people coming.
Brad.
Brad, Neil's here, he's fit and ready to go. He'd love to take a shot at you, you know. He's a big fan of yours, and he's ready to go, you know. It's only a boat ride across the water for us.
I'm more than happy. I mean, I give the guy an opportunity, you know. That this is how what the sport's about is. And I know I've got a little bit of beef with Ian McCall.
Brad, this has happened. Neil was meant to defend his Cage Warriors World title in December against Ulysses Gomez, and you know, he collapses making weight. And Neil is a bit like yourself. Neil is 34 years of age, and he hasn't got that much time to be pissing about, and he really needed that fight in December, you know, and it fell apart. And his goal is to get to that UFC, you know. There's been hurdles put in his way, and he's beating people, you know, thrown in front of him. He's probably the most active flyweight in Europe. You know, he just needs that little shot, that little chance.
Yeah, sure. I mean, like, for me, I'm like I say, it's not my decision.
Yeah, of course.
I'd fight anybody, you know. I think one of the top guys in my weight class, so obviously I'm prepared to fight anybody. So I'd fight anyone. It's not really my decision, but, you know, like I said before, I'd rather fight someone than nobody. You can bring in some guy off the street and I'd fight him, you know, rather than not fight him.
And Brad, can I just ask you a question? Have the UFC, you know, Sean Shelby, put any names at your, has he been in contact with you at all about a replacement?
Yeah, he hasn't been in contact with me, but I can't discuss that in too much detail. But a couple of names were mentioned to me, and I said yes, yes, yes to all the names. They're just waiting back to hear from their managers. So it's kind of like, it's not always the fighter's decision, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The fighters tend to say, yeah, I'll fight anybody, you know, but sometimes it's the manager's decision and the team's decision to make decisions for them. So we're just waiting to hear back on a few people, you know. And obviously one of the names in the hat is Neil.
Yeah.
Are you surprised, Brad, that you haven't seen a few people jumping up to take the opportunity? Because equally, you know, a win over Brad Pickett would look good on somebody else's ledger. So are you a bit surprised a flyweight hasn't come looking for you in the UFC? A UFC flyweight hasn't come looking for you?
I don't know. I don't want to be, like, big-headed or anything, but I'm not an easy to fight to take on 3 weeks' notice, you know. You're in a fight, you know, no matter what. You're going to get hit, you know. It's not like an easy matchup, you know. And I'm making my flyweight debut, so they can imagine me. I used to fight lightweight, knocking people out, featherweight, bantamweight. So me going down to that weight class, I think I'd be pretty much quite a unit. So it's not like an easy task for someone, I don't think. I'm not trying to big myself up here. I'm just seeing it from the other perspective. So I think a lot of people, it's like me personally. If I was a middleweight, I wouldn't want to fight someone like Melvin Manhoff, you know, on a couple of weeks' notice, because I'd be like, oh my god, I need to be in shape for this guy, you know, because he's like a, you know, a cannon, you know. I want to make sure I could get out of the way of the punches and stuff like that. So yeah, I don't know.
Brad, I said something similar in an interview the other day. I said if Neil was a young flyweight starting off, we were offered this fight with 2 or 3 weeks' notice, I wouldn't take it. I said, because you're too experienced and heavy hitter. But I said, but Neil, with, you know, his experience, he's a lot of fights, he's been under pressure, you know. It's a different fight for him.
He's been around. And also, like you say, I don't know how old he is, he's 34, am I right?
34, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, you know, he needs to grasp these opportunities when they arise, you know. Yeah, so, right. Time is of the essence, you know. As an athlete, I know that myself, because that's why I'm going down to flyweight. I'm not going down to flyweight, like I say, because I enjoy cutting. I'm going down there because I want to by the end of my career to say that I have done everything in my possible power to try and be number one in the world, you know. I was at bantamweight. I was ranked number 5 at bantamweight, and like, I was going well at bantamweight at times where I've been in a lot of title eliminators, and if I'd have won a fight, I would have gone on and got a title shot. Where, so there's 4 people ranked above me in the bantamweight division, and I fought 3 of them and lost 3 of them. So it kind of left me nowhere to go, and I could have fought people behind me and stuff like that. But for me, that's going in the wrong direction, and it doesn't really motivate me as much. And I kind of, like, in my head, I thought maybe I'm not the biggest bantamweight out there, so maybe I could go down a weight class, and that's why I'm doing it. So I'm trying to do. I won't do this because, you know, just for the sake of it. I don't. When I'm in the UFC, I'm not just happy being in the UFC. I don't want to just make up the numbers. I want to be someone within the UFC. So.
And Brad, how's your weight cut at the moment? Obviously, you know, going into 125, it's going to be particularly hard. Is everything on point? And when do you expect an opponent to be announced?
Well, I expect the opponent to be announced as soon as possible, basically. Any minute, really. Shelby should let me know when the decision is made, but he hasn't yet. So I know that I'd be one of the first people to know. And as soon as I know, obviously, the rest of the world will know. But, so I, for my sake, I hope sooner rather than later. Not because, I need a different preparation. It's just nice to ease your mind, you know? Yeah. It's just, I'm quite mentally tough and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it don't affect me too much. But, you know, it's just nice to know who you're fighting, you know?
Honestly, Brad, we think that we're all over this in Ireland. We've been pushing hard for Neil through Twitter mainly and a bit of Facebook as well. Has anyone said it to you, or how big a deal is it over in the States? Is it has anyone come up to you in the gym and said, "Who's this Neil Seary fellow who's looking to fight you?"
Well, only really my friends and family and stuff like that, and stuff like that. I've mentioned it, to be honest, that's all I'm around at the moment. I'm at home, go to the gym, back home. That's my life, so I don't really go out socializing much when I'm in training. So I'm normally just either at home or in the gym.
Right.
Fergus,
you've lost touch with the outside world a little bit.
Yeah, and I like to keep it that way. As in, like, it's a hard thing I do, I sacrifice a lot to this sport. I just got married, end of last year in September, and now I'm away 8 weeks before, 8 weeks away from my wife, and I've done this for years. I go away for 8 weeks at a time. It's not because I come over to America just because it's good training over here and I'm part of a good team. I train really well when I'm back in the UK. I have good training partners back there, but I come over to America as well just to get away from my day-to-day distractions, or your mate's birthday party, or this bar mitzvah, or that here, or christening here, or, you feel when you're in that country and around that, you're obliged to go there. But when I'm in a different country, I can't go there. So it's nice just to take myself away from my day-to-day life, where when you have a day-to-day life or where you're eating, like, say you used to come out of a tube station and you always go and eat in this little place, and maybe that place ain't right for you to eat there anymore, but it's hard to get away from your day-to-day routine where you used to go in and pick up a bar of chocolate here, or, but when you go to out, when I get on a plane and I land in another country, it's easier to switch on, like, boom, I'm here for a reason, I'm here for a fight camp. And everything changes, So for me, mentally, it makes it easier.
Sorry, go on, Niall.
And Brad, obviously, the fight now, it's 3 weeks' time, 3 weeks yesterday, just under 3 weeks till UFC London. Is there a cut-off point where you'd turn down a fight if there's no one announced in the next maybe 2 weeks?
I'd fight someone on the day.
Okay. Fergus?
You can pull someone out of the crowd, I'll fight.
Hopefully it won't come to that,
Fergus.
Yeah, hopefully not, but I'm just saying, I'm prepared to fight anyone.
There obviously has been a huge reaction to Neil on Twitter in Ireland, and it's not just a gimmick, or it's not because he's the guy who happens to be just there at the right time. It is based on merit. If you look at Neil, he's fought 22 times, and I got into it a bit with a guy on Twitter because he replied, and it was a bit of an idiotic reply to a tweet where he said Neil is 13-9. It's not good enough. He's not going to get in. And he had himself described as an avid MMA fan, but you know, to dismiss someone on a record is just, it's so one-dimensional. Because if you look at Neil, 11 of his 13 wins are finishes, which any weight division, any fighter, if you've got most of your wins through finishes, that's a pretty special record. He's 6 fights as a flyweight, and he's 5-1 since he dropped down to flyweight. If you look at the Fight Matrix ranking website, he's actually ranked above a lot of the UFC flyweights, like Justin Scoggins, Darren Montague, and Louis Gaudino, who's going to be fighting in London as well on the same night as Brad. He's also a Cage Warriors World Champion, which has to count for something. And you don't have to look further than Conor McGregor to see that actually holds to the stock in the MMA world these days. And if you drill back through Neil's career, he's fought as high up as featherweight. So he's fought as high up as 145 pounds. And he's actually won titles close to that weight. He won a title at a 63 kg weight class, which is 3 kgs lighter than... It's sort of halfway between bantam and featherweight back in 2008. You know, so he was quite competitive, even though he was fighting way above his weight. So, you know, to dismiss him just as a 13-9 fighter is just incredibly short-sighted, because all of this... campaign is based on merit. It's not a gimmick. It's not because he just happens to be the Irish guy who's there and could get a shot at the UFC. No, he actually, we feel he deserves, and a lot of the people in Ireland feel that he actually deserves it based on his record at flyweight, what he's achieved through titles, especially the Cage Warriors one, and most of all because it'd be a hell of a good scrap between Neil and yourself, Brad. I really do think the two of you match up well, and of course, I'm biased, but I'd love to see it happen.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, at the end of the day, it's not my decision. I've never once not questioned his thing, his ability and stuff like that. But yeah, because I understand it. I know that he's been fighting for a long time, and he's not a big guy. And obviously, same with myself, I used to be quite small. I used to walk around about 63 kilos. I used to fight at 66 kilos when I first started. My first ever fight, I was 62 kilos, and the guy weighed 72 kilos, you know? So, like, there wasn't weight classes back then, you know? So, I know if he's been in the game for a long time, there wasn't a lot of weight classes. So, I've been in the same position. You know, I was a featherweight champion at Cage Rage for a long time, and I didn't cut weight. I used to just walk in the cage at that weight class, you know? It got to the stage where I understood I was small for the weight, so I put on weight, then eventually cut weight. And then I eventually then cut weight down to bantamweight. Now I'm going back down to flyweight. So it's quite strange how I made myself bigger, then made myself back smaller again. But I understand that, you know. As many times I thought a lot of guys were a lot bigger than me. And I know it's not size, elephant is not the king of the jungle and stuff like that. But size does matter when skill sets are the same. So like if I say I fought myself, who's a... 5 kilo heavier version of myself, it won't matter so much in the stand-up, but it'll definitely matter in the wrestling and grappling. Weight does make a bit of a difference if the skill levels are the same.
And Brad, what's the mindset? Obviously, you've no opponent named. How does what's psychologically, what's that like? Is it very frustrating, obviously?
Yeah, it has been, but it's not too bad. I'm professional, I know I'll get a fight, and I'm just going to carry on training. Like I said before, I don't really particularly concentrate too much on my opponent. I concentrate on making myself better, and that's what I always do. I try and go in every day in the gym and make Brad Pickett a better fighter. I think that's the only way to go, really. So it doesn't matter who I fight or and also, in my eyes, I don't believe I have many weaknesses in my game. As in, don't get me wrong, I'm not the best at everything, but I wouldn't say that, you take him down, he's in trouble when he's on the floor, or if you stand up with him, he's terrible on his feet, or that sort of stuff, you know. So I believe I'm very well-rounded, and when I go to the gym, I try and improve in every area.
Definitely. And just before we wrap the interview, do appreciate the time, Brad. I'm going to ask Andy. Andy, have you any more comments for Brad? Because we'd obviously love to see the Neil Seary, Brad Pickett fight happen.
Yeah, no, if it happens, I'd be over the moon, and I think it would be a great fight. But if it doesn't, I wish Brad all the best, you know, because we are big fans of him here. And as I was telling you earlier on, we do send a couple of lads over to American Top Team to train, and we've Paul Redmond going back over now in the summer to train. So for me, you know, if Neil gets to fight him, it's brilliant. But if he doesn't get to fight him, you know, we wish Brad all the best, and we'd be rooting for him on the night.
Definitely.
Okay, guys, thank you.
Definitely. Brad Pickett, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show, and really do appreciate the time, my friend.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Cheers. And guys, that was Brad Pickett. Interesting stuff there, Andy and Fergus. How close are we to getting this fight? Do you really, really believe it's going to happen?
After listening to Brad, I'm glad that Sean Shelby has mentioned his name anyway, you know. So at least something is happening there. I think we're sort of, it's a 50-50, you know. And but like for me, you know, I just think the easiest thing here is just give Neil the fight, you know. No one else is out there making a big deal, shouting, we're looking for the fight. Give him the chance.
Definitely. Fergus?
Yeah, like I was saying there during the interview, lots of the flyweights are matched up. The ones at the really high, I think Brad said Dodson was coming back from an injury, but say Morag or Chris Carriasso,
yeah,
who are top 10 fighters. I mean, would they take Brad Pickett on such short notice? And it's over in England, so they have to get in a plane.
Doesn't help with the weight cut.
It doesn't help with the weight cut. They're 3 weeks out from the fight. The last week they won't get much done because there's so much media stuff.
Mm.
So it won't be. There won't be much training. It'll just be.
Neil will love the media.
Yeah, dealing with the media and losing the weight. So, you know, would someone like to take Brad Pickett on 3 weeks' notice? Like he said himself, probably not. As Andy said, it's the easy thing to do. Just like Neil is there, he's ready. He'll give a good fight, you know. And I'm not just saying he'll give a good fight. His style matches up well with Brad. You know, it would be a good scrap. And plus, like you've said, Niall, the thing isn't sold out, and you could get an extra couple of hundred or even a thousand or so Irish people definitely in there, lift the roof off the stadium.
I'd say half a Finglas would be there, you know. You know, we've guys from the States. If Neil does get a shot, they're going to come over, you know.
Yeah,
a couple of guys there, they're going to make the trip.
Definitely. Well, listen, we've done our best, and as well, you have to really take your hats off to the fans, especially on this one, because the response on Twitter was unreal the other night. I couldn't believe it when I was just going, wow, all these tweets, people retweeting, Reds or yourself. You know, is there any words you'd like to say to the fans?
For me, just a massive thank you, you know. And it's great to see everyone come together and supporting each other, you know. Like, we're all from different teams, and you know, we all support different fighters, but it's brilliant when an Irish guy does get a little glimmer of a chance that people rally behind them and give them a bit of a boost.
Yeah.
Instead of the opposite way, you know, that fucker, you know, we don't want him getting that, or, you know, at least people are getting behind him. It's brilliant.
Definitely. And Andy, just going back a little bit, yeah, obviously the Ulysses Gomez fight, it didn't happen, and, you know, I think, if I'm honest, I thought Ulysses Gomez was very disrespectful after, with some of the words he was, you know, he was posting out on Twitter at Neil, etc. What was your feeling after that fight? Because obviously, you know, the talk was, if Neil was to win that fight, he was going to get the call from the big show anyway.
Yeah, let's say that fight did happen. Neil won the fight. We wouldn't have been talking there. We would have been on that
exactly
card, you know. You know, and that's the sad thing about it. And for me, as a coach, like, if that happened to Neil and Neil, you know, missed the weight, I would have gone to that coach's room, knocking on the door and saying, look, very sorry, guy can't make the weight. And Neil would have said, you know, we would have said, no problem, let's do a catch weight, get the fight on. Or if he did fall and hurt himself, look, all the best, hope he's okay, go and see him in the hospital, I hope everything's all right, you know. It's, you know, your health is your wealth. But they didn't. They had this attitude as if they were better than us and walking around the place, and, you know, and they were there for a week in that hotel, which I can't understand. You know, he was there for an extra few days to make weight. And the vibe in the hotel was that this guy's not going to make weight. That's the vibe we were getting off people, you know. And, like, we were told about 2 hours to go, and I didn't tell Neil. I wanted Neil to weigh in, get on that scale like a champion, and you know, you make your way, you show you're the champion, and we made him do that. And it was only just, he just fell down a couple of minutes before he stepped on the scales. But it was Gomez's whole attitude after that then, like, you know, Twitter and Neil, I'm in the hotel, I'm going to see you. And Neil said, I'm in the venue where you should be, you know. And then, like, I wouldn't even, like, we bumped into him in the airport. That morning, and he was having a burger and chips at 11 o'clock in the morning on the Sunday morning in the airport, and still had a big attitude. I still come out, and Leah was actually very nice to him, and Leah was very pleasant to him, didn't get too caught up in it, you know. But yeah, still they strutted around as if they were this, we're from Vegas, you know, we're Americans, we're better than you, and you know, ridiculously.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
And Andy, obviously, we know Neil doesn't, he's not too fond of doing some of the media stuff, but what was his, you know, obviously he was very down after that fight. How hard was it to get him back up as, you know, being his head coach and you know, reinstall that belief in him? And obviously he was very disappointed.
He was. The only good thing for us was that we had lads fighting New Year's Eve, so he was in the gym to coach them, you know. So he was straight back in like that. And that's sort of one thing we have in the gym. Okay, you could be training for a fight and your fight Saturday night, but you're back in the gym the next week because your teammates are fighting. So that sort of kept him going. But you did see in him that, you know, he knew this was, he was, like, for me, looking at Neil, he looked just in the right place at the right time. He looked relaxed. He made the weight cut easy. He was training really well, you know. You say, Jesus, you know, he's on a roll here. And then they've just knocked it off then, you know.
And Fergus, obviously I spoke to you. You know, I was having a Twitter exchange, obviously, with you, or I think it was text. I'm not sure, whatever it was. Anyway, when Gomez didn't make weight, what was your opinion on the whole debacle, so to say? Because let's be honest, you know, as I mentioned there, we wouldn't be talking about this now if, you know, if Gomez hadn't have missed weight. I think a lot of people did fancy Neil to win that, but obviously a very tough opponent. But you know, surely. It's now really or never really, because this is the time where the UFC needs someone. If they were going to sign him, then surely they'll look at signing him now to step in and fight Brad Pickett. No,
yeah, well, absolutely, of course, yeah. That I totally agree with that. The whole weight thing is a little, it's a pet peeve of mine, because there's no point in walking around pretending you're king of the hill if you're not in shape. Like, if you have, if there's a contracted weight, that's the first thing you have to do before you can even consider doing anything else. So when you see fellas not taking that seriously, you just wonder, well, how serious are they about the whole thing?
Exactly.
If they can't get the first hurdle right, if they can't get the first bit right. Are we still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I thought we lost you. for me, if the UFC were looking at him and they were considering signing him if he beat Gomez, well, I think maybe like in BJJ, he mightn't have got the points, but he certainly should have got an advantage from that, because he turned up in shape, made the weight, and was ready to go. So if they were considering signing before, you know, he should still be a good shout. And, I mean, we're fed up talking about it.
For me, that's why we made him make the weight, because we wanted Neil, you know, instead of, okay, we're being told 2 hours before Gomez is out. Okay, well, Neil doesn't get on the scales. Well, then they can always sort of say, oh, well, he never weighed in. Yeah. Neil weighed in, made the weight, stood up there, you know, done his photographs, thinking he was going to fight, and then his opponent pulled, you know.
Definitely. And just before we wrap up, guys, Andy, 5 reasons why Neil should be in the UFC.
I'll give you one reason. He just deserves it. You know, that's it.
Yeah.
You're dead right. Fergus?
Yeah, I mean, all the stuff I talked about, he's got a great flyweight record. He's 5-1. He's a finisher. 11 of his 13 wins are finished. And they're a mix of subs, TKOs, KOs. Like, he's not just a one-trick pony. He's ranked above a lot of guys in the UFC. I mean, that in itself, you know, how can you have a guy who's ranked above your fighters not in your roster? He's a Cage Warriors world champ. Cage Warriors have proved themselves to probably be, they're definitely the number one source of UFC talent in Europe. And they might only shortly, you know, they're only kind of number three, possibly number four behind Bellator World Series of Fighting. They might even be better than those promotions. So that has to count for something. The thing you keep on coming back to is, like, people are going to get value out of seeing Neil on the night, because he's a good matchup for Pickett. His style will match up great with Pickett. Like, he's a guy who he walks
forward. High pressure.
He's got a great chin. I was asking Andy earlier on, because I've seen I'd say the last 10 of Neil's fights, and I was just thinking, I've never seen Neil dropped. I've never seen Neil putting his arse or his back from taking a punch at a touch wood. Probably with the markers on him. But I've never seen him been put. So he's got a chin. He's got power. He's got KO power. He's knocked guys out. He knocked out Nicola Jocka in his first flyweight fight with a left hook, I think. He knocked out Paul Mariner, got a TKO with a liver kick. You know, he's just... And Brad's the same. Brad is a guy who doesn't go backwards. He's got a good chin. He likes to stand and bang. He's not afraid to go to the deck. Neil's a purple belt in BJJ. He won't shy away from the floor if Brad can get him there. Like, to win the world title, Neil fought Mikael Selander, who I think half or most of his wins had come through submission. So people were thinking, oh, Selander's just going to get him down and submit him. He barely took Neil down. He might have taken him down once or twice.
And Selander losing the decision to Ali in a show in Russia there, didn't he, before Ali was signed up?
Ali Bagatinov.
Yeah.
And Neil took him down and submitted him. Neil fought a guy, a UK guy called Mark Platts, who's supposed to be a Muay Thai champion. He was going to come over and outstrike Neil, and Neil battered him.
Yeah.
You know, so style-wise, it's if they do get matched up, whatever about numbers or rec, it's going to be a great fight.
Definitely, and Andy,
it's going to be a great fight.
Yeah, let's fingers crossed it happens, and you know, sooner rather than later for both guys' sake, everyone involved in the situation, that they get a fight announcement anyway. But Andy, what's it like? I always ask these to coaches, what's the contact like? We mentioned there earlier on, is it a phone call? Is it an email? You know, what happens? Will you be the first to learn, or will it be Neil?
No, we'll be his management company in Kansas City. They'll find out for us. He'll give me a call and I'll speak to Neil, you know. I don't even think Neil gives out an email. It's hard to get Neil on the phone, never mind an email.
And Andy, what's the plan for you for the next few months? Obviously, you know, you've a lot of big fights coming up. Obviously, yeah, Reds are most notably.
Yeah, we have a Battle Zone Contenders next week, so we're sort of bringing it back to the sports hall and putting a lot of the younger guys in the card. And even as you say, that we have a lot of the top amateur guys in the show. And then we're back on in April in Cork, which the show will be getting recorded for Zatanta.
Brilliant.
And that show will be all Safe MMA approved. That's the big thing we're going to be pushing and supporting, will be the Safe MMA.
Brilliant. I think
it's the only way to go with these guys, you know.
Definitely.
Safety for the fighters, you know what I mean? Go look after them. And then hopefully get Neil and get maybe Paul Redmond into the UFC, or even get Paul Redmond a title shot in Cage Warriors.
Definitely. And how many guys, I asked that to John Kavanagh last week when I'm on the show, how many Irish guys do you think are going to be on this Dublin card in September for the UFC?
For Dublin guys alone, I'd say, you know, Neil Seary, Cottle Pender, Chris Fields, that's without the other guys that are signed already, you know, Connor and that, you know. But that, for me, them anyway. They're going to put a ladies fight on Aisling Daly. But I'd love to see Reds are getting a chance getting in.
Definitely.
There. Because I'm talking about putting young guys on good records. You know, Paul Redmond's a good young guy, you know. Get him in there, sign him up.
Well, I mentioned that on the show last week. I actually, myself and Andrew McGann from SevereMMA.com, we were actually speaking about, you know, what guys we thought would be on the UFC card here in December, or September, should I say. And, you know, one guy I did mention was Redzer. He just got caught in the last fight. Is that fair to say? And he was on a great roll before that.
He was on a good roll. And the guy who beat him had a good record. And he's a good kid as well. And he was a better man in the night, you know. And we wouldn't take that away from him. But Redzer was, he was just a little bit slow in everything he was doing that night, you know. Even from the takedown, and he took the guy down. He didn't, you know, take the control. He relaxed a little bit too much. But hopefully he'll get to win the next fight now and move on, you know.
And Andy, just another question here about, you know, the level of the amount of people. Sort of say my hangover's kicking in here. How many have you noticed a real change in, you know, numbers coming down to the gym in the last sort of 18 months? It's been a big increase.
Busy, yeah, but there is a lot of younger guys coming down. But what I find now at the moment is a lot of guys want to come in and do MMA, but they don't want to do MMA. They want to come in and get a T-shirt, and they want to do the classes. And I think that's a good thing as well, you know, because everybody's not able to go in and you know, fight like a pro or do the hard time training, you know. Yeah. Some guys want to do it twice a week, come down, keep fit, maybe do the odd amateur fight, and that's brilliant. You should be allowed, you should be able to do that.
Definitely. And where can if someone wants to sign up for Team Rhino, how do they go about it?
Yeah, you just contact us, Team Rhino BJJ Revolution on Facebook, or drop down to the gym, you know, teamrhino.com. We've classes every night of the week down there. We've the new gym in Finglas now as well, which Carl Roach and Neil C will be heading up, you know, so we'll have that running full time soon.
Brilliant stuff. And Fergus, obviously, where can the guys find you and catch your show?
Well, as I said earlier, we're on SoundCloud and iTunes. If you just search for Satanta MMA Show, same for Facebook. We have a Facebook page, Satanta MMA Show, and we're at Satanta MMA Show on Twitter.
Brilliant stuff. Listen, lads, it's been a real pleasure to have you on the show tonight, and really do appreciate you taking the time out to join me in the show. And listen, let's hope this this Siri business gets resolved. And if you're listening in by any chance, Mr. Shelby, the dialing code is 00353.
Listen, thanks for all the support. Really appreciate it, lads. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a million, guys.
Thanks, lad. Talk to you soon.
Cheerio.
All right, guys, that was Andy Ryan and Fergus Ryan. So great to have the guys on the show, and I really do appreciate them taking the time out. And also, obviously, Brad Pickett, who joined us from America today in Florida. So really do appreciate the time, and appreciate you guys listening in here on the show. I'll be back on Wednesday talking Brawls Mixed Martial Arts podcast. And let's just, keep hassling Mr. Sean Shelby and Dana White about Neil Siri. The man deserves to be get a shot in the big show. So as always, keep on listening, keep subscribing. You can obviously catch us on the website, www.talkingbrawlsmma.com. Obviously on iTunes, at Twitter, at TBMMADOTCOM. I'm at Niall McGrath 4. So hit us up. And do appreciate you listening in again tonight. And I'll talk to you on Wednesday. Big thanks to the guys yet again. Cheerio.
Broadcasting live from Dublin, Ireland, and around the world on TalkingBrawlsMMA.com. You're listening to Ireland's premier mixed martial arts radio.
This is Mike Dolce,
Ian McCall,
James Little Evil Pulver,
the Crippler Chris Leaving,
Frank the Legend Shamrock,
Bruce Buffer, your voice of the UFC Octagon. And now, we are live at Talking Brawls.